The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 22. Revelation 3, 14 through 22. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, "These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, 'I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing,' and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and be with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches."
Good morning, everybody. I hope you all had a good last week, and we all had a good night's rest last night. I hope that also looking forward to another great week in the Lord. So thankful to see Larry and Carolyn here today. I can't express how much it means to me that you guys came. I really, really love you, and you've always encouraged me every single time that I've been around you, every time that we've gotten to see each other. You just have the most genuine faith that I've ever seen. I'm just so thankful that I get to share in that with you. So thank you guys for coming, really, from the bottom of my heart. I go quite a bit back with them. They're great family friends. I see them in a lot of different places and lectureships that I go. So please make them feel welcome if you haven't already. And just want to as well extend my welcomes and my thanks to all of you else for being here. We always need every one of you at every single hour of worship that we come together for the encouragement of each other and for the encouragement of visitors as well. So thank you all for being here, and let's worship God together also in this next act of worship, and that is study of God's Word. So is the church in a state of lukewarmness today? That's the topic, lukewarmness. And kids, get ready, because I'm going to say it a lot. They write down how many times I say a word. So, church, have we become lukewarm? We need to understand that the life of a Christian is a life that is constantly growing. And like many other commandments in the New Testament, this also is a commandment. This also is a requirement of the life of a Christian, that we always remain in a state of growth, not in a state of remaining in the middle between righteousness and sin, but we're always growing more so in righteousness. We're not always remaining stagnant, but we're growing in spiritual things of God. This is no doubt one of the biggest issues in the church. No doubt one of the biggest issues is the lack of growth with Christians. And such, of course, brings a Christian to being deceived by the world, to being deceived by denominations, because they don't know better, because they don't know maybe the soothing words or the nice ways and speech that denominational preachers or whatever might put it, or people of the world, all different types of world religions, of course, as well. But we need to keep in mind that lukewarmness is just as bad of a sin as any other sin in the New Testament scriptures. If you sit in the middle, if you sit in indifference as far as spiritual things, indifference, that's not okay with God. God will not allow that. And as we just read in the scriptures, He will vomit you out of His mouth, as He did with the Laodicean church. So keeping that in context, of course, this morning, we're going to go in just a little bit of detail on that church as well. But let's go ahead and start in verse 14. We're going to piece this together in an expository way. But Revelation 3 and verse 14, God's given word on lukewarmness. The recipients and sender of this letter, So the recipient, obviously, is who? The Laodicean Church of Christ. So keep in mind, another point that we might make from this is these churches of Christ were also churches of Christ, just as we are today. Another congregation that fell into a sin. Just like we recently read with the 1 Corinthians 5 passage, with the man who slept with his father's wife. That was a sin of condoning that church got into. And now, what is this church getting into? Another problem that God has with them, which is what? Lukewarmness. Is it worse, or is it the same as far as punishable by God? It's the same. You see, they're both equally punishable by God. So we need to keep this always in our mind of, are we in a state of lukewarmness as a Christian? Am I, personally, in my life, in a state of lukewarmness as a Christian? Never growing, but maybe I'm just a pew warmer. Maybe I just show up. Maybe I just, you know, during the week, there's not much more I do with God, but I show up to church on Sunday. That's not enough. We talked about that quite a bit in our class. That's not enough. We have to always be growing. Always. To save yourself from the deceptions of sin, yes, and temptations of sin, and the deceptions of the devil, maybe to lead you away from God, but also for your own sake and growing in that knowledge of God. That's required. That's not something that's just, you know, recommended or suggested. It's required by God that we always be growing. So we need to study our Scriptures daily. Get in the Word daily. Always be trying to reach out to the world around us. Trying to reach out in events like we're about to do with the Ice Cream Social. We have a place that we're going to be set up there. We're going to hand out some materials. We're going to be trying to reach out to the world with those different things we hand out. Trying to teach people. Hopefully we can reach out with that. Maybe we can get some brochures and hand them out to houses. You know, how much time would it take out of your day to do something like that? Or, you know, debates that I've told you that I've been having with all these different groups of people. How much time out of your day does it take to reach out to somebody like that? Not much. Not much time. And nonetheless, we should make it our aim. We should make it our aim to always be well-pleasing before God, even in the matter of spreading the gospel. That also is required in Matthew 28:18-20. Let's say in this text, though, for a second, of course, the Laodiceans are the recipient of this letter. Keep in mind that Laodicea is a city of riches, wealth, and trade. What is that like today? Is that like the U.S. today? Yeah, that's like the U.S. today. We're a city of wealth. We are a massive, massive city of wealth. Sure, there are poorer parts, just as there were in Israel, just as there are in any place. But for the majority of the United States, it is a wealthy country. It is a trade-centered country. It is a country where everybody wants to go. It's the superpower of the world. It's the country where anything and everything can happen. And we're seeing, what? Inventors of evil things in so many different ways in our society today. So all of this, of course, will keep people coming further and further away from God and having less and less of a need of, you know, for God, which would, of course, bring that lukewarmness even to the church. So we have to be careful that we don't start getting into that sort of behavior and in that sort of manner as congregations of the Lord's church. Now, the sender is God, who is also named three different things here. Amen, it means verily or truly. You also see the faithful and the true witness. The faithful and the true witness, meaning he is competent and completely trustworthy. That is God. And ultimately, who is talking here? Jesus is talking here. So completely trustworthy, completely competent. Different ways you can describe that or synonym that in the English language. Also, the beginning of the creation of God, meaning origin. Does this mean that Jesus was created alike to one of us, and that is that he's a created being? Does it mean that? No, it doesn't. What does Colossians 1:15-17 say? That he created all of us. So rather, this means that he actually is the origin of from which all things creation came. He's the origin. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He's the one who has the preeminence over all things. As John 1:1-14 says, he's the one, he's the Word, who created all things. And then he came in the flesh and dwelt among men. So we need to keep those things in mind. Of course, as Christ himself is telling us here that he will vomit us out of his mouth if we are lukewarm, we need to keep in mind that's not okay. We need to get rid of that sort of mannerism in the church that we might have even personally. Don't be stagnant in the middle of spirituality. Pick one or the other. It's just as worse to be in the middle. Just as bad to be in the middle. Pick righteousness. But don't stay in the middle. It's just as bad as being completely stuck in sin. For it is sin in itself. Being in that indifferent state that is in a spiritual way. So we might also call that insensitive. Insensitive to your spiritual needs, of course. Insensitive to maybe doing more for God, trying to grow in the things of God and the spiritual knowledge of God. But the church here, of course, seems to be in that way. As we read in Revelation, of course, chapter 3, we'll go ahead and read it again. 15 through 16. Now, we'll start in verse 14. And to the angel of the church of Laodiceans writes, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish that you were cold or hot, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. What does that mean? Does that mean that God is pleased with his people? No. He's not pleased with them at all. What does that mean? If he's vomiting them out of his mouth, are they going to be partakers in heaven with them? With him? No, they're not. It's God's house. He makes the rules for how you get inside. The lukewarm Christians are not going to make it if he's vomiting them out of his mouth. That's emphatic language. That's language that tells you, I don't want any part with this group of people. So we need to be careful. Have we become in such a way in the church, and as maybe in a personal life, in our personal life as a Christian? Have we become like that? Are we stuck in that in-between of striving for righteousness or striving for wickedness? Don't be caught in that. Pick righteousness and strive to grow in that. Strive for perfection like Christ wants you to. Strive to always be doing more. And spiritual knowledge, works of edification, works of behavioral growth, works of evangelism, etc. Of course, we know that God's Word is against this very thing of lukewarmness, so it's contrary to God's Word. We need to make sure that it is not a part of our lives. Don't be a pew warmer. Don't be a pew warmer ever in your life. Be a person that is always trying to do more, and somebody that the church knows and can look to also as an example. As an example of somebody who's extending love and the gospel towards the world, and also trying to help their fellow brethren, of course, along the way, as we're all in the same path to heaven. A few other things we might mention in these verses. Colossians 2, 9 through 10, if you turn there with me, put your marker in Revelation 3. Colossians 2, 9 through 10. We need to remember, of course, that Jesus is the one stating these things. He's the head of us. He's the head of the church. And it's His every single right that He tells us not to be lukewarm or to be lukewarm. And He tells us not to be. Colossians 2, 9 through 10 says, for this reason, we also, or 2 rather, 9 through 10, for in Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. So God, Jesus, who is God, has every authority here in Revelation. As this entire thing is about victory in Jesus, He has every authority to tell us that we should always be growing in Christ. Christians, if you're just showing up on Sundays and not doing anything else in the week for God, what in the world? Why are you doing that? Why? Take some time, study God's Word, try to pray more to God. If you don't do anything else, try to pray more to God. You know, prayer's not the only thing. What else can you do? Can you sing? Can you sing to God? Can you take time with your family and sing to God? Maybe have a little devotion. How often do we have devotions with our families? Or maybe, you know, groups of Christians come together. In my last congregation, we have these youth group gatherings where only the youth group does that. Why doesn't everybody do that? Why does only the youth group come together and have those gatherings? Why doesn't the church also have, you know, little devotionals like that? Well, we have one on Wednesday. We have one on Wednesday, but only like 6 people show up. Why? Christians, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to challenge you. I'm trying to challenge you to push more towards that spiritual growth for your sake and for your family's sake, blood family or whatever. Push more for that. Try to get more and challenge yourself. Challenge yourself. I've had those Wednesday night devotional sheets back there as well. We've had a few brethren who've signed up for those things, but I wish every one of you brothers would sign up for one of those Wednesday night devotionals so that it would also challenge you. You don't think I'm also taught by all the study that I put into this? Into bringing you these lessons every Sunday and Wednesday and all these classes that I do? You don't think I also am challenged? I'm the first one that's challenged. So I'm also up here preaching to myself. Brethren, strive for that growth. Strive for that spiritual growth and don't allow yourself to become lukewarm. If you can see yourself like that in any way, now is the time to change that. Now is the time to do more. Let's continue on. Ephesians 5:23 and Colossians 1:18 are two other verses you can put with that, what we just previously stated. But Revelation 3:17, let's read it. Because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. So, because you say there, this can obviously be spoken inwardly or outwardly. Even subconsciously, we can practice this concept of lukewarmness and just get into a bad habit and doing it in some way. Do we know Christians who get into a bad habit of lukewarmness in different ways? Obviously, yes. I'm sure all of us know different Christians like that in different congregations who might get into a different type of bad habit. You know, there's all different types of bad habits that you can get into, but habits that may prevent you from growing more in the Lord. We need to make sure that we stay away from those types of habits. Encourage brethren, maybe, to get away from those types of habits if you see them happening. But the Church of Christ here in Laodicea, they're complacent. They think they're okay. They think that they're rich. They have need of nothing. They don't know that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But God is here telling them, Jesus is here telling them, these are the things that you are. Even though you think nothing's wrong, there's a lot of things wrong with you because of your lukewarmness. A lot of things wrong. Descriptively, he says here, and we'll kind of describe these things out here, I am rich, meaning they're self-sufficient. They don't, you know, need God. And, you know, they think that they're going and they're well-pleasing to God and they're doing everything that God wants. But really, in their hearts, inwardly, they don't need God. They're not behaving like they need God. How sad. Can we also become like that? Especially, yes, in America, we can become like that, where we get in a mannerism or a behavior of not needing God or acting like we don't need Him. We might not, you know, once again, think that we're acting like that or think that we're, you know, being like that. But of course, it can definitely happen inwardly. Be careful of that and challenge yourself. One of the things that I need to make sure I clarify with you, brethren, as well, I don't preach these sermons to make you all feel good. You don't realize that? I don't preach these sermons to make me feel good as far as not being convicted. Something else I have to do is I have to convince, rebuke, and exhort. The very instructions given to Timothy from Paul. Do you remember that? That's my job as a preacher. I have to do that. I'm not here to just, you know, make your ears, you know, and your all of you just feel really good and, you know, all of us have a good time. Yes, I love coming and worshiping God. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that we need to be convicted in our hearts by some of the ways that we behave in life. Another way that I put it, and that me and Larry were also talking about earlier, we always need to be students. Students of the Word and students of God. No matter how old you are always a student of God. Always as a Christian. Don't think that you are higher than anybody else as far as such things. You can teach other people, of course, yes, and you might know more, but you are always still a student. None of you are like Jesus, the perfect teacher, and I'm not like that either. That's why I put the study I do into making these lessons. Larry does it. He's also a preacher. Jeff also does that. He puts the time. He's also a preacher. We all do that when we're studying God's Word. We need to remain students. This is how denominations are made. They think they got it all. They think they know it all. They, you know, form the Scriptures in whatever way that they need to do. No, just stay in the Scriptures. Just stay with what it says. If it says don't be lukewarm, then don't be lukewarm. Strive for growth. That's it. Of course, this is how countless denominations have been made over the centuries. But I have become wealthy. Let's continue to define our terms here, our phrases. They feel satisfied in their physical life, still in verse 17, Revelation 3. So they have no desire for spiritual things. They themselves, or whether they themselves are ignorant of this fact or not. We have to be careful about this, of course, here in the U.S. This next phrase, I have nothing, they feel self-confident and perhaps perfected already. So there's different ways that you can look at this. Of course, reading different commentaries and different synonym usages, different phrase usages, paraphrases. But I have need of nothing. Pretty self-explanatory. They don't feel like they need anything. They don't feel like they need God. Of course, maybe we feel, you know, that maybe we, and that's another lesson, but maybe we feel like we need this new car or this new house or whatever. We got to get more and more and more and more and more money for our family or whatever. But we got to shift our focus from all of those earthly things back to God. We got to focus all of that energy that we're pushing into all those earthly things and trying to get more and more and more in this life and bring all of that to focusing on God. Because it's about getting to heaven. This life is a test. You're not going to be here that long. I'm not going to be here that long. I may be 21, but I could die tomorrow. Every one of us could. Preacher, that's negative. It's the truth. Every one of us could die tomorrow. Could happen. So we have to be ready. The things which are far better are awaiting you, Christian. Are you going to be ready for that? Or is God going to vomit you out of His mouth because of lukewarmness? Is He going to vomit me out of His mouth because of lukewarmness? We have to be careful. We have to challenge ourselves on these days whenever we come together. Look at your life on a personal level and see, am I currently obeying everything God wants me to obey in the New Testament? Or am I transgressing or contrary in some way, shape, or form? Make change if that's the case. Don't just stay in the way that you are. Spiritual Christianity, true Christianity, is growth. It's not just, I'm here. It's growth. We need to understand that, Christians. But, of course, God does state the true condition of these brethren here. Let's go back to our text. A few more things. Wretched. The word wretched there, of course, meaning afflicted. They had troubles they did not even realize that they had. We can have that spiritually today as well, brethren. Miserable. They're to be pitied. Different ways you can put that. Their soul has false hope. False hope. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. I'd ask you to turn there with me. One of the most well-known verses in the Bible, in my opinion. But nonetheless, one of the best. We're talking about false hope. Matthew 7, 21 through 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Exclamation point. Lawlessness. Because it's not within the law of God. It's contrary to the law of God. You see, lukewarmness is also something that is within the law of God. If you see your life in that spiritual condition right now, it's time to make a change. It's time to make a change this morning. Not tomorrow or next week. This morning. So you can make it to that home in heaven. Make that change today. The next words we'll look at, poor. Poor. The next word in our text, Revelation 3, verse 17, is poor. Of course, this meaning, there are no treasures in heaven for them. In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, we'll read it since we're right nearby. Matthew 6, 19 through 21. "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So they're poor because they're not rich in spiritual things. They're not rich in the spiritual rewards because they're lukewarm. Because ultimately, as God's even vomiting them out of His mouth here, they're in sin. They need to correct something. So they don't have those spiritual rewards awaiting them anymore. Is that the case in our spiritual, personal spiritual life? If that's the case, we don't have those spiritual rewards awaiting us anymore. We have to correct something. Be convicted this morning. Don't say, well, oh, it's okay because of this or because of that or because of this. And just do that for months and months and months and years and years and years and get stuck in it. Don't get rid of those bad habits. Say, I've got to correct something. I've got to change something. Be open-minded whenever the Bible tells you that you're doing it wrong. Be open-minded. It doesn't matter how old you are. Be open-minded when the Bible says no. Make a change. I think we all understand that. Very self-explanatory, but blind. Blind, the next word here in Revelation 3, back in our main text. Quite literally meaning, these Christians are blind. They're unknowing to what their true condition is. So we talked about, we can either know or we cannot even know that we're in this condition. Not knowing is much more dangerous. But nonetheless, that's actually how most Christians that are in this condition are. They're not knowing that they're in this place, spiritually speaking. That they're not moving, that they're not growing, and that God has a problem with that. Most Christians that are like this don't know that. That's a problem. Does God make it aware? Does God warn people about it, though? Yes, He does. He warned the Laodiceans. Was it preserved for us today? Yes, it was. So we can see the very same thing. We talked about condoners earlier. That's warned. We talked about all sorts of things, even in Amos. That's warned. There's countless examples across the minor prophets, all those Old Testament scriptures. Those are there preserved for us to warn us. The New Testament, of course, also has many, many warnings that we can look at. Lukewarmness being one of them. Naked, the last word here, they had no clothes of spirituality. So nakedness is always spoken of as a shame throughout the scriptures, really. So they're naked here. They're naked spiritually. They have nothing. They have no clothes on. They don't have those white garments that are described in Revelation. It's about to be commanded of them, though, that they have those white garments. Let's continue here in Revelation 3, 18 through 19. Revelation 3, 18 through 19. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So whereas they were buying physical things, and they were buying into all of their physical needs and or desires, rather, and wants, now God wants them to change that. Make a change. Make a a difference in your life right now. Buy from me gold refined in the fire. What kind of gold? Spiritual gold. Spiritual gold, trust riches of the spiritual realm. You know, heaven, that's what God's talking about. That you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness that we just talked about may not be revealed. So, a different ways that we can think about that, but of course that gold, talking about spiritual treasures. Now, something neat here that God also emphasizes is that as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Something that we forget as we go through the trials and difficulties of this life, and no matter how old you are, we all face that in different ways. We all have different stories, every single one of us, is that God chastens us and disciplines us to help us. We actually forget that a lot. But He does that to help us. He may not be the one who's directly inflicting, certain types of evil on us, but He allows us to go through those things. Why? So we can grow. So we can be molded and better and shaped stronger, like a sword. Stronger steel, so we can be better as a Christian. God allows us to go through trials in life, whether it be for years and years, whether it be your entire life, whether it be for months, whether it be for days. God allows us to go through those trials, or for a few moments. It can be anything. We all have different stories, but nonetheless, God takes care of us even in that way. As a father disciplines his child, God disciplines every one of us as Christians. Everyone. Because we need to realize we're still students. We're still children. God is ultimately our Father, and He's eternal, and He knows what's best for us. And He will take care of us always in this way as well. So this is the only way to be truly rich, of course, that chastening that God helps us with helps us to spiritually grow and develop our souls to be worthy of heaven. Let's look at a couple of scriptures, if you will, of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verses 24 through 27. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest, when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. So, developing your soul, trying to grow spiritually, disciplining yourself, trying to always run that race so that you can obtain that imperishable crown, as Paul just talked about. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit. Running in such a way. Are you running in such a way today, or are you running in lukewarmness? Are you running in a state that is not going anywhere? If you're running in that state, if you're not challenging yourself in new ways as a Christian and trying to grow, you need to make a change. We need to make a change if that's the case. If this congregation is in that way, we need to make a change. We need to grow. We need to try to grow this. You know, as many people are sitting in these pews here. I heard that 100 plus people used to be here. That may be for whatever reason, but we can still try all that we can to try to reach out to this community. And I commend you for doing those ice cream socials. And I commend you for doing all that you did before I got here. Something that we need to do, though, is get more people into this building right here to learn more from God's Word, to try to spread the gospel. Let's try to do that. Let's try to reach out to our coworkers, to our neighbors, to different people that we know, to our family members. And a lot of you have been doing that. God commends you for that. And God sees that. But nonetheless, we have to try all the time. And that's what counts. That's what matters. We may not be able to bring one person in here more, but God still wants us to do it. You think Amos, as we talked about this morning, was pleased whenever his entire nation was destroyed, Israel? That's where he lived. We live in the United States today. That's where he lived back then. Was he pleased whenever his nation was destroyed and his brethren? No. But nonetheless, he still preached to all those people who likely spat in his face, called him names, oppressed the poor. We read all about all of that. So nonetheless, keep growing. Keep trying. Even in an evil world, even in a spiritually sick world, a religious world even, that is sick beyond measure, that is accepting of things that are just absolutely abominations. Keep on going and growing as a Christian all the time. Don't be naked spiritually. Don't be shameful spiritually. Let's read a couple other things and we'll be finished for this morning as far as our lesson goes. Revelation 7, 13 through 17. Revelation 7, 13 through 17. It says there, "Then one of the elders answered and said, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore they are before the throne of God, and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. Verse 16, They shall neither hunger nor any more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of waters. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." So buy that white raiment as well from God. Something that we, of course, we're just reading about in Revelation 3, 18 through 19. Buy that gold, buy that white raiment, buy all that which is spiritually righteous. Don't focus on the things of this life as much. Prioritize spiritual things of God. Develop your soul to be worthy of heaven. That's the way to be truly rich. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. We'll read that real quick as well. Matthew 7, 3 through 5. This also talks about opening your eyes to your spiritual condition. Matthew 7, 3 through 5 says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." So what if we were like that? What if we were lukewarm, never moving as a congregation, never moving maybe personally, just as a Christian, just us? Maybe we're never moving, but then we're, you know, saying bad things about the world, you know, and that is in the sense that, you know, look at all the evil in the world. Look at how the world is so disgusting and so evil. But then, what's the reality? If we're lukewarm, aren't we just the same? Yeah, we are. Yeah. The same destruction from God will come upon lukewarm people, lukewarm Christians, as will homosexuals. Is that the truth? Is lukewarmness contrary to the Scriptures? Yes. Is homosexuality contrary to the Scriptures? Yes. Are they both punishable by hell? Yes. You see, it's something to correct. It's something to change if it's present in your life. So church, have we become lukewarm? I want you to look inside yourself today and challenge yourself and be challenged by the things that you've read today and the things that we have talked about. If you have this going on in your spiritual life, I urge you and plead with you to correct that today. I urge you to please come to the front as we're about to stand and sing, and please let us help you repent of that sin, of lukewarmness, spiritually speaking. Please let us help you with that. If you have anything regarding prayers for yourself or for a family member, let us take care of you in that way as well. If you need to be edified, if you need just encouragement, and you need prayers for encouragement, please do let us help you in that way as well. Anything else, let us know. If you're not a Christian today, there's only one way to be saved, and that's through Jesus the Christ. You have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you believe that today, are you willing to repent of sin? Are you willing to turn away from that and accept a new life in Christ? Confess Jesus as the Son of the living God. If you're ready to do that, don't wait anymore. Be baptized. Be baptized. And receive that remission of sins. Be added to the kingdom of God and remain faithful unto death. And you get that which is far better. And whether we die today or tomorrow, it doesn't matter. We get heaven. Are you ready for the judgment day? Am I ready for the judgment day? Let's ask ourselves that question. If you have any need this morning, come to the front as we stand and as we sing.
God will.